This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
We got a lot to get to today. It's Jason Lloyd, 92.3 The Fan, The Athletic, and so much more across from me. What's up, buddy?
Hi.
How you doing?
I freaked you out today. Messed with you a little bit.
Which part?
I'll be there at 2:30.
Yeah, you did. You got me really good because...
Nick texted me at 1:30 and said, hey, buddy, what time are you coming in today? And I said, running a little bit late. I'll be there around 2:30.
Do you know why it's such an effective...
I was sitting in Keith's office.
Do you know why it's such an effective bit? Because for the last 5 weeks, every day it's been some different thing. And sometimes it's for like 2 hours here or 3 hours here. Like today, you're till five.
Yeah.
And other days, it's like, this is your host for 5 hours, and tomorrow it's going to be a different one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, you might not have known it, or maybe you did and you're just a D, but man. You played into my anxiety every day so well. And what's funny is I saw somebody coming around the corner out of my periphery as I'm looking down at my phone, and I see 2:30, and I just drop my head like, all right, guess I'll call him. And then you come bounding up the stairs, and I was like, you so-and-so.
Well, I gave you about a good 3 or 4 minutes and thought, I don't want to give the man a stroke. I better go down there and tell him, no, I'm actually here.
My dietary habits are already doing the work. They don't, like, we're standing on the ledge here with, like, bad health decisions, the diabetes and heart problems. But you could have been the guy that killed me today. Like, you didn't need to add that to your byline.
Well, yeah, sorry about that. It was too easy.
I mean, it really is. And again, I kind of doing it to myself at this point. But how you doing, buddy?
Happy to be here. 3 hours. You got 3 hours. Get the best you can out of me for 3 hours.
I'm probably going to screw around for most of that time. Yeah. So, actually, it's interesting. Like, in terms of the Cavs, last night was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got home, and Ness is watching Lost, bane of my existence. She's watching this show. I have no interest in it. It doesn't strike me as a good show. But we had the debate that married folks do about... hey, do you have to watch something tonight? And I was like, yeah, the Cavs are on. And so she's like, I got 15 minutes left on this episode. So I turned the Cavs on my phone, and it was a pretty tightly contested game. And so the 15 minutes comes and goes. And by the time I get it on the TV, the final probably 4 or 5 minutes of the first half, the Cavs just run away with the game.
Yep.
And it is just, I mean, it is poetic. It is beautiful. Evan Mobley is dominating, but they have spacing. Like, I thought you only had spacing. I was told by a certain former coach, you only have spacing if everybody can shoot the three on the floor. Turns out, you can actually manifest that with, like, a system or plays or things like that. Sorry, JB Bickerstaff. That's a technical for six men on the court at once. But no, last night was so much fun, and it was honestly, like, it really was the welcome diversion from the Browns bleep show that I'd been just so, so direly needing.
Yeah. It's one game.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. No, I'm not. I'm really not. But, like, JB was right in the fact that it is hard to space the floor if you don't have three-point shooters. That is fact. And you're going to see that manifest itself when you play better teams than the Raptors. However, having said that, this is how they want to play. They want to put the ball in Evan's hands, and he was terrific. He was everything that you had wanted to see out of him in the first 3 years. And hopefully it continues, like, because this is how it's going to be. Like, they're going to keep playing this way. And they want the ball in Donovan's hands, Darius's hands, and Evan's hands. So somebody's going to have to take a step back. I think it's probably going to be Darius, because you can't take the ball out of Donovan's hands. So I think Darius, at least in terms of having the ball, probably has to take a little bit of a step back. The Cavs are okay with that. They've said for years, I've heard from them for years, that they think Darius is fine in an off-ball role. You have to sort of throw last year out. It was a terrible year for a variety of reasons. But when you put the ball in Evan's hands, good things can happen. And you saw that last night. Dribbling's not his strength. He's not going to be a dribble, pass, and shoot guy, but they don't need him to be. He doesn't have to be. I don't know what you want to bring him the ball up the floor and initiating, but he's a really, really good player. I've said for years, if they're going to win a championship, he has to be their number one. He has to be even better than Donovan. He has to be their number one. Donovan has to be their number two for them to be a legitimate championship-type contender.
Well, and I think, especially because of the prominence of players who have, like, ISO ball tendencies and we're just going to go on hero mode, I think we have this massive misunderstanding of, well, this is so-and-so's team, right? I think some of the best teams we've seen, it's like co-ownership, and it's just your turn versus my turn. And last night I thought they did a really good job of balancing like that. Like, if you want to know, like, the goal, because I think you're right, I was jamming up a little bit. It is one game.
Yeah.
But I think last night the ebb and flow of this is your time, this is my time, and being it an organic thing based off the pace of play and where things are, I think that's the goal.
So are you arguing they should be going your turn, my turn? Because I think that's a terrible idea.
No. I don't mean literally like this is your possession, my possession.
Because that's what happens a lot, especially when you have like two ball-dominant guys who come together for the first time. Mm-hmm. Darius and Donovan, first time they play, like that's kind of how it goes. You know, back in the day, LeBron and Wade, that's how it goes. This one's your possession, this one's my possession. You can't play that way. You just have to play within the flow of the game. And if that means one guy gets four in a row, then one guy gets four in a row.
Yeah, I think that's more where you're at. And I do think, though, last night, it is proof of concept of everything you wanted to see. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that JB Bickerstaff can't coach, even though I was not happy with him at the end, and it doesn't mean that Kenny Atkinson has all the answers, but I think that's the kind of thing.
This is why they brought him here.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. And if you can do that consistently, it does raise the ceiling of the Cavs, and when I say ceiling, I'm talking about long-term ceiling, not just in a vacuum of one season.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It was funny because last night I was, I had a story I was working on. So I was in my office and I had the two TV set up, so I had the Cavs on one TV and the Pistons on the other TV. So I had JB on the top and the Cavs on the bottom. It was just kind of funny. And of course, the Pistons are coming here Friday night. They had a bad loss. They were up on the Pacers and lost last night. I think JB would be fine in Detroit. He is what he is, and I think he's a really good coach. I think he did a lot of good things here. And now you're hoping that Kenny can get more out of the offensive end without taking too big of a step back on the defensive end. The defense is going to slip a little bit. It's just how it is. But that's okay, because I said throughout the postseason, if you have an elite defense but you can't score, that's not a formula for success in the playoffs. If you can score, you don't have to be you don't have to be the best defensive team. You just can't be the worst. Somewhere in the middle is fine. Fine if you can score. And that's where the Cavs had so much trouble in the playoffs before getting good looks and getting and they did have a lot of open looks that they just missed too. Like, guys just miss shots, and that happens sometimes. But you want the thing, though. I defended JB a lot when he was here, but the one thing that I acknowledged was really frustrating was it just felt like they were so pick and roll heavy on offense. There was really nothing else in the bag to go to. anytime it was late and close, it was give it to Donovan and get out of his way. And it just felt like during the regular season, there were missed opportunities of things that you could work on besides just give it to Donovan and let him go win it for you. And that, and what we saw last, give Evan the first touch of the game. I've been screaming that for years. Every time down the floor, Evan Mobley should have the first touch of the game. Does that solve everything? No, of course not. But it gets him going early. It gets him involved early. It gets him activated early. Darius and Donovan can get theirs anytime. Get the big guy going early. They used to do it when Kevin Love was here. And you tell Evan, where are you most comfortable on the floor? Go there. Is it at the nail? Is it at the elbow? Where do you want the ball? Because you're getting the first touch every time down. We don't care if the other team knows it. It doesn't matter. It's fine if they know it. We want to get you activated and get you going.
Well, and I think the Evan conversation that gets real tedious was, one, putting on the, well, it's year three and that's when you make the jump. Because everybody makes the jump in year three. Not entirely. And bigs are a little different. Like, bigs do tend to develop at a slower clip. I just think, well, like, even last night, like, he's not going to look like that every night.
No, of course
and
not.
And that's okay. The point is, can, okay, if it was, if he looks like that offensively 10% of the time last year, can you get it to 35% of the time this year?
You can get higher than that.
Like, how much?
Over 50.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think if you say you can get that guy more than half the games this season, not only do I think you're going to blow past 48.5 wins, which I think is the current over-under at FanDuel, I think it changes, because I do think good habits beget good play and good habits, and I think those things come out in the postseason more than anything. And I think you saw bad habits beget bad habits under JB, whether that's his fault or a flawed roster.
Yeah, I mean, the regular season's for building things to use in the postseason. That should be the point of the regular season. And forcing yourself to play left-handed sometimes, doing things you're not used to doing, not used to accustomed, just try something different. You know, they were so pick-and-roll heavy. Let's throw in a couple dribble handoffs and just to give them a different look, because teams can take away pick and roll so easily in the postseason. It's you just blitz the ball handler, get the ball out of his hands. Okay, now what do you have? And, you know, I think a lot of young coaches sort of go through that process first time through of figuring that out and then having to then diversify. I'll be curious to see JB in Detroit and see what he does. That's a much different situation. It's a really young team. They're not very good. There's a lot of growing and building to do, but what lessons he'll take from Cleveland, just like Kenny. I think Kenny learned a lot in Brooklyn and how to deal with stars, and then going to Golden State and soaking in the Warriors culture. And now I'm curious to see him second time around as a head coach and see how he's changed.
The one thing we haven't mentioned was the rotations last night, because that was probably my biggest frustration with JB, is he got really sticky with rotations. Again, it's one game, but, you know, we saw a genuine Ty Jerome sighting.
Well, he was hurt. I mean, he had the most severe injury in the history of ankles last year. He didn't play a single game, which was odd. The whole thing around him was odd, but especially early on in the year, you're going to play more guys.
I like that. I like
and
that a lot.
I don't know. Kenny's talked about playing like 11 guys. I don't know how you can play that many.
Memphis does it. I'm not trying to be that guy, but because that's the one team that does it.
Yeah, I mean, you can always find an anomaly. I don't know that it's good to play that many guys, but we're so early. You don't have to have that conversation right now. You just sort of let that thing take care of itself. There's always going to be an injury. We've already seen one with Strus. There's always going to be an injury or a bench guy who's not playing well or something who maybe needs to sit down and catch his breath a little bit. But they've got, like, they're a deep team. They've got options. And that's, you know, we can talk about it more as we go, but, you know, I'm really interested in the new world NBA with the way that they've restructured sort of the cap with the tiers and the salary and the punishments that come with it. And if you're the Phoenix Suns and you have a flawed roster with a really high payroll, it's really hard for you to get better. And that's why I think you saw the Cavs make the moves that they did in the offseason and locking up all these guys long term. Because when they become a tax team, I'm not saying they don't have any holes, but I'm saying they have a deep and balanced roster, which is what you need when you start entering some of the penalty areas where they may eventually go. Does that make sense? Because yep. It gets, you better be whole when you get there, because if you get there and then you start looking for parts, you're going to have problems.
We got a lot to get to, guys, but we, of course, are talking about Evan Mobley's big night. Kenny Atkinson did have something to say about Evan as the leading scorer. We got Pete Futek coming up at 3:40, though. Another big weekend in college football. Ohio State, Iowa. Can Ohio State get back on the winning side of things? Brad Doherty, Cavs TV analyst for FanDuel Sports Network, coming up at 5:20. But as we get started, How much are you putting into one game from Evan Mobley, that and Kenny Atkinson, on what impressed him most about Evan Mobley? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.